Breaking news,
and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome back to the Expressway. Here we are again for another week. My partner in crime, my buddy, my fellow running back, my RB for life, fraternity brother, Billy Taylor, beat the BT Express. I'm here. I'm your co-host, Charles. Show me the way. We are here for an exciting jam-packed show talking about New York Giants football, New York Jets football, and the rest of the world of sports, specifically our favorite topic as always, NBA basketball. The headlines for this week is all about Giants, all about Saquon, all about how he may even hold out. There was a report, Billy, just today probably, that he's been working out with Daniel Jones. So what do you think about that? Does that sound like he's planning on holding out if he's actually practicing with his go-to guy, Danny Dimes?
Well, I got a feeling, Charles, that they're going to get this done. Because if he's unhappy, you don't want anybody on your offense to be unhappy. And the more that I look at it, Charles, and I know for sure, and we haven't really talked about it, the more you look at it, I know you said that they've downplayed the running backs or devalued them. You know he's worth the money. I mean, you were going to show some films a little bit later about him in college and him in the pros, but last year wasn't too far apart. And I got to say this name for you, Kenny Golladay. If they can give him $20 million, they can give Saquon 14 or 15. And because Kenny just stole, they call it stealing when you get that kind of money and don't do nothing for it. Saquon earns his money. Come on, give the brother his money.
And, but you know that was a different regime. Yep. That gave him that money. And so they may be thinking about it a little differently. I don't see how they can, because in Buffalo, the running back was the main player to that entire offense. That if you look at it, they had a great running game. I know Josh Allen was a good majority of that running game, but the running back at Buffalo made a significant difference to that offense, offensive team. Obviously, they got some issues over there in Buffalo where the quarterback and the wide receiver aren't getting along very well. They got their own issues. I've been reading a lot in the news about that. But as far as the Giants are concerned, the offense seems to be running smoothly. Daniel Jones is doing what you expect him to do with the team during the offseason. He's having workouts with all of his guys. I mean, if you're not a Giants fan, if you're a Giants fan and you're not excited about the things that's coming out, I don't know what you're going to get excited about.
Well, we got some questions that I'm asked to you later about that, because I think they've improved a lot, but I don't think some of the prognosticators realize how much they've improved from an offensive standpoint. If they improve offensively, then they're going to help the defense out tremendously. So I'm excited because this is the first time in a long time where I've anticipated them to be better than they were the year before. And I hope that comes true. And we'll just have to see. But I like Danny Jones working out with Saquon. That means that they're trying to develop a chemistry, which they did last year. And I look for that to carry out over this year. But I look for Saquon to get paid before July 17th.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that will be the case as well. As far as Jets news is concerned, I just found out that they may be the prime candidate for that Hard Knocks, for HBO special Hard Knocks. Yep. And how do you feel about that? Given so much excitement is surrounding that team, I think as a fan, I want to see what's going on behind the scenes, especially since everybody's picking you to at least make the playoffs, if not contend for a championship, AFC championship title. But what do you think as a player or as a coach, what do you think about having cameras around you every day?
Well, see, I don't know if that's good, because the only difference in this year and last year is the quarterback is Aaron Rodgers. and they're still at the end of the same team as they were last year. Does he lift them up or bring them down? Sometimes when it's the first year of a quarterback, maybe they need to let him get acclimated and get everybody on the same page at time, because this is going to take a little bit away from them. When you got those Hard Knocks cameras, they say they're in the meetings, they're in the bathroom, they're everywhere. So you got to be careful if you allow them to kind of take over, because they do what they want to do in Hard Knocks. And I know a lot of people want to watch it on TV and everything to see how the Jets are, but I don't know if that's good or bad, but we're going to see, because I think the Jets are going to do it.
Yeah. And I think that's the fine line that I think we've been talking about, is when is it too much money, or when do you cross that line where money is more important than results or team outcome? Because, you know, Woody Johnson, he's Johnson and Johnson. So, you know, he's all about the dollar. Right. And if I got to compromise to make extra money, I'm going to compromise a little bit to make an extra money. And I think what he's seeing is, hey, we got Aaron Rodgers, we got a great offense, great defense. This is prime opportunity where I can get all my merchandise across the country now when I'm on HBO. And so the issue that I have with the whole segment, or with the whole situation, is, will it impact how they actually perform on the field?
Yeah, that kind of scares me too. But see, I was looking at the money thing for the NFL and Woody Johnson and everything. They just got a new deal with Prime Amazon. They got a new deal with YouTube. They say Peacock might be involved. And then the networks and the ESPN. You're talking about them making, each team is making over $1 billion a year. And I think that most of that stuff is cleared after a while because of the advertising. So I think, you know, you're just saying if Woody Johnson is doing it for the money, he's being greedy. So I don't know what to say, because, you know, how much money do you want? I mean, he's got billions of dollars. He can do what he wants to do already. And maybe he's just trying to bring publicity to the Jets, let people get to know them. That's the positive thing. But the negative thing would be if he's doing it for the money.
Yeah. And I think that also goes back to the fact that this is still almost considered Giant Town. Yep. You know, this is New York Giant era. That's the team that's won 4 Super Bowls and 4 more recent than the Jets. And so when you look at that dynamic play out, you can see why, if I'm a Jets marketing executive, I want them in front of the TV. I want them in front of the camera, because we don't want to be looked at as a stepchild, or, you know, to the New York Giants. And this is one way to get that brand out there and away from or behind the curtain of being overshadowed by the Giants.
Well, so you've convinced me of that. That's a good convincing chat, because I never thought about them being second fiddle, but they are. They have been ever since I played. They were second fiddle. And I just think that that the Giants have overshadowed them. As a matter of fact, it's almost like a major league team and a minor league team. It's kind of a shame that they share they're both the stadium together. I think each person should have their own stadium. But then again, I totally see the economics in it. But anyway, it sets it up for, you know, next month's training camp for both teams, and then we all start.
That's right. That'll be good. Hopefully, we can actually broadcast or tape a show right at training camp, where we can have a bunch of guests coming on the show and we can talk to and probably go to both training camps to see if there's an opportunity to speak to the Jets and Giants.
That's a great idea, Charles. I'm looking for you to get us in. Come on, man.
Well, our next topic before we get to the second quarter, which will begin in a very shortly, is I wanted to talk about the Saquon. We had our conversation last week was about Saquon and him not being the guy he was in college. And so I bought some tape. But before we get to the tape, the reason why I said this is because you got to be careful. I mentioned to you, these young bucks are coming into the league and doing damage. And we talked about this this week, that people are like saying Eric Gray may be the real deal now. And he could be that guy that's explosive and that playmaker that a lot of teams look for. And then we could end up in the same situation of the Tony Pollard, Ezekiel Elliott situation, where Dallas had just given Ezekiel Elliott that $13 million contract. And they just drafted Tony Pollard. And then Tony Pollard started taking off. First year, he was doing great. They were sharing time. Second year, doing even better. Third year, Tony Pollard playing more than Ezekiel Elliott because Ezekiel Elliott wasn't doing his thing. So let's we're gonna wrap up this segment because I think we gotta put that on his own quarter. And so the next segment we're gonna talk about Eric Gray, and I'm gonna show you some tape, BT, of how Saquon was playing and at Penn State and Saquon's last year. You're right. I want to say you are right. He did, when I had a chance to look at the tape, he did look a little bit more like Saquon of old, of the Penn State Saquon, as opposed to 2021 Saquon. So we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we'll go through Eric Gray and Saquon Barkley's video. Welcome back to the Expressway. I'm your co-host, Charles Show Me the Way. I'm here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor, and we have an exciting segment for you guys. We're going to break down not only the Giants running back draft choice, Eric Gray, we're going to actually kind of either confirm or deny our suspicions that Penn State Saquon is better than 2023 or 2022 Saquon. Just because he's coming off of an injury, I think that Penn State Saquon is much more explosive, much more dynamic and exciting as a receiver. But we'll get a chance to see that. But first,
breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
The conversation is, we talked about, should Saquon get paid? Should he not get paid? And I was like, the boy better be careful. He just better find a way into camp, because if Eric Gray gets too much play and the Giants find out that he may be more explosive and can bring just as much excitement to the game as Saquon, they may not ever give Saquon the money that he's looking for. So I wanted everyone, especially you, BT, since you're running back aficionado, let's take a look at Eric Gray's highlights and kind of talk about some of the things that we like about him and some of the things that you've heard about him, especially since he's so explosive and dynamic in a run game. But the thing that I question is can he be that dynamic in the pass game?
Okay. I like him a lot as a running back. And as you look at the highlights, he's got everything except for size. You know, can he take that beating that Saquon took up? But he's lucky as you look at the film, because he's that great explosiveness. He may not have that great out speed, but his quickness is as good as anybody. You watch as he goes through the hole. Nobody gets a clear shot on him, and he makes a move on anybody that's close to him. And I love running backs who got those kind of moves. And I think that he is going to be a great addition to the Giants, because he can catch the ball out of the backfield. The quarterback depends on him. And sometimes, you know, Danny Jones gets in the bind. You have to think his running back is his best friend, whether it's Saquon or Eric Gray. So you look at that speed he's got and the quickness. You're not going to beat him up. I mean, you're going to maybe hit him a little bit, but, you know, he's got that stuff to slide in and out. I watch him go through little holes. I mean, holes that a lot of running backs couldn't make it through because of his great vision. Your thoughts, CW?
Yeah, I love the fact that he has that quickness and that burst. And that's basically, in the game of football, that's what you need. You very rarely ever hit your top speed in the NFL game, if at all.
Yep.
And so really, when you're evaluating running backs, you're looking for the vision, as you mentioned, but you're also looking for that quickness and burst, because if you can get that quickness and burst, I mean, and some of the shots that we're seeing now, you see the quickness, you see the vision, and you see the burst after the cut. That's what separates the elite running back from the average running back that's just a journeyman. this guy could start. I give him 1 or 2 years. This guy could start for probably any team in the league.
Well, I like him, and like as I told you before, my buddy was the quarterback at OU at Oklahoma, and then I was surprised to learn that Eric went to Tennessee and transferred to Oklahoma, and so he knows what big time football is all about, and he just got to get acclimated. Once he gets comfortable, the Giants can use a 1-2 punch on him, and I'm we're gonna fight about Saquon because I think that he looked good last year and he looked like the Penn State guy before because I saw him, the Giants didn't have a great offensive line. I think Penn State may have had a better line.
Yeah, I think when you start talking about Saquon and his performance from last year to Penn State, which I've always said he hasn't looked like Penn State Saquon to me, right? And so when you look at and rightfully so, man, we take a beating in the league. And he's been in the league for 4 or 5 years. You take a beating week in and week out. Now you gotta understand when I was playing, I had to ram my head into people plus run the rock. So I got a chance to hit people and they got a chance to hit me. And so fullbacks' careers aren't that long doing that. But when you look at certain things, I think especially when you look at Eric Gray, and we'll wrap up the videos of Eric Gray and turn our attention into Penn State Saquon. When you look at Eric Gray, like I said, the only concern that I have is because look at Christian McCaffrey. How well can you be utilized in the passing game? And not just the check downs that we are all accustomed to. I'm talking about the option routes, making guys miss. When you got one-on-one coverage with the linebacker, can you make a miss? Can you beat him in man-to-man coverage so you can make plays, so you can be Daniel Jones's go-to guy?
Well, as we look at Saquon, I think this, if he improves this year on his run, on his passing routes, and I think when you get a linebacker, you should just be chomping at the bits because I made a good living off of catching passes out of the backfield, even from Phil Sims, because I would want the linebacker. And there was a running back named Bobby Hammond, and this is Penn State's Saquon Barkley. Charles thinks that he was better then than he was now, but he came off a year this year from the Giants where he was explosive too when he got the opportunity. I think in the NFL, you don't get as many opportunities as you do in college. Look at his quick feet. Watch his burst. He still had that in the NFL.
Look at the speed. It just looked like a different player. I'm just saying, look. He just looked like a quicker, faster. I mean, the human joystick. That's what I would call him. It's like a video game. Like, and he's moving. Like I'm using my controller to move that dude around. But look at, when you look at him in these clips on Penn State, the man has, you see the burst. We talked about, and it's a difference. We saw Eric Gray's college tape, right? And this is, so you got to give Saquon his due because you saw Eric Gray. He had the same, but it's a different, it's like you put on a different speed. It's like I just added fast forward a little bit. I just added two speeds more on Saquon's video as opposed to Eric Gray. And that's the difference that I see in Penn State is like the dude could have just gave him the ball every play and he would have done something. That's what I saw when I watched him at Penn State. I was like, look, get my popcorn, and I like my goobers when I'm watching a good movie. Give me my popcorns and goobers, and I can watch this dude all day at Penn State.
But see, my thing is that he at Penn State, his offensive line was so good, they never had defensive line penetration. Like, well, he didn't have to do a move before he got to the line of scrimmage. When he came to the Giants, I saw that from the very beginning. He's having to beat a defensive lineman that had beat the offensive line just to get back to the line of scrimmage. And that's why I think he's better now because of his knowledge of the game. He knows what's going on. He's a great teammate. He's perfected his entire game. His last part is just running pass routes. And I just think last year was a tremendous year, and he deserves to get paid. But Eric Gray is the guy who may prevent him from getting paid. But you watch Saquon, man. He's been great for a long time. He overcame a major injury, which shows you everything, character, integrity, all kinds of stuff, to be able to fight that way through and come back with 1,300 yards rushing, another 300 receiving, led the Giants in rushing and receptions. That had happened many times in the history of the Giants. I know 1 year I led them in touchdowns, but that's a rarity also, because usually the field goal kicker gets most of it. most of the points, but we didn't score a lot of points that year. And so Saquon is still,
I totally agree with you.
But I like Saquon. I think he's, and I like him more than most people because of his character and the way he's a teammate.
Can we not use the video?
What'd you say?
So I agree with you. Everything that you said, and like I said, this is what got me excited when they drafted Saquon in the first round with their first round pick. This dude is legit, man. Come on. This is who we wanted him to be, and this is who he was using him in injury.
Would the Giants have been as good if they had Eric Gray in last year compared to Saquon?
I think so. If you look at Saquon and you look at what Eric Gray could have done with the team, especially, it would have gave Saquon a little bit more of a breather. You would have had two guys that you could count on that could be dynamic, whereas you needed somebody to make a big play when Saquon was off the field, and you didn't have you didn't have the receiving core that you have this year.
Yep.
And so you were dependent on Saquon to carry the team, which he did, and that's why he's telling everybody, look, I need to be paid, because if it wasn't for me, we wouldn't have got to where we were last year. So give me my money.
See, I've been saying that from the very beginning, Charles, because I believe in Saquon. The only time that I think they hurt him was when he carried the ball 35 times that week, which is really very few running backs now in the NFL carry the ball over 30 times. And I think that beat him up so bad that he could hardly play the next week. And I think that's where Eric Gray comes in, because he doesn't have to get the ball 30. If you give Barkley 20 chances, you know, a few passing and 17 rushing chances, he's going to be fresh. And that's what you want him coming down the stretch. And I remember the two-point conversion that he had against Tennessee. It wasn't open. He had to do a move to get outside to score. And that's what you want your running back to do, to be able to create his own hole sometime. And I think Saquon has it all. And I'm just impressed with him as a person, as a ball player, and how he came back from a serious injury to be able to help the Giants get to the playoffs.
Yeah, and we'll kind of squeeze it in here in the second and third quarter. But if you look at his New York Giant tape, Saquon's New York Giant tape, and just reflect back on what we saw when he was at Penn State, you can see some of that explosiveness and some of that excitement that we saw when he was at Penn State. He kind of showed that last year, and I think like I've said, and I kind of ding him. And I've been injured, and you've been injured, and he was coming back from a major ACL injury. Think about it. And so it took a toll on him, and it takes a year and a half to actually get right from an ACL injury. And so you saw him at least get right last year to be the guy that we needed him to be, and he was a difference maker.
So what you're saying, Charles, is that they need to sign him because it's going to be a great year for him. It's over a year and a half for him with the ACL. And you think about it, I've never had an ACL or anything, but I know that that's got to be the hardest injury to come back from, because you have to work your behind off. You know the definition of hard work to be able to get that. And just to do what he did, he had to work his behind off. And that's why I give him a lot of credit. And that's why probably he's a little upset for all the work that he did in the season that he had, and to not even step up for his pay. And then you give Danny Jones $40 million, and we're arguing with him about $15 million. I know the difference in the devalue of the running back, but tell me what you did for your team to be able to get that far. If you look at the Giants at all, everybody knows that Saquon was a big part of it, and I think he deserves something. And I keep bringing up, you know, the other people that they paid. I mean, and the other people didn't deserve anything. We're getting paid before they even came here. And Saquon's already proven it. So it's been over a year and a half since his injury. This year could be a super year for him. You're talking about 1,300 yards. I don't know what's going to happen, but do you think that the Giants will get more touchdowns than they will rushing touchdowns or passing touchdowns? Because they got a new bunch of new receivers, so they don't need to rely on Saquon as much. So will they get more passing yards or more rushing yards this year?
I will let you know right after this break. I will give you my opinion, and I need to see my man Saquon and Giants Blue showing us how he acted last year. But we'll be right back in a minute.
Back on the expressway, Billy Terror, the BT Express, along with Charles Show Me the Way. And we're just having fun talking about the Giants and different things. But now we decided to switch it up, and we'll come back to this a little bit later. But we're talking about the best places in the NFL to play, where the fans are passionate and you kind of, you know, really want to stick it to them sometimes. And I just guessing because you are from Philadelphia, you know how terrible a place that is to play. I think there's a lot of great places. I appreciate we played in Kansas City one year, and Kansas City Stadium was made after the Giants' first stadium before they built this new one. So it's like going to the Giants Stadium. They're red around there and blue, and they look just like Giants Stadium. But the fans were so nice, and that shocked me because everybody's saying hello. I think I scored a touchdown there, and people started congratulating me. I said,
"Really?
This is not a negative to play this." So give me an idea of some of the stadiums you played at where you knew that there was a tough place to play.
So I played in Oakland at Raiders Stadium.
Yep.
And that was bad because, you know, that they had the baseball stadium.
Yep.
You played on a baseball, and it wasn't filled in because it was still baseball season. So you had the dirt. And so you had to figure out what type of shoes to wear because you went from grass to dirt to dirt to grass. And that was tough, right? So you were wearing these seven studs because you were in the infield, and then you got these seven studs on this thin blade of grass. So it was too gripping. And so that was a tough place to play. But I go back to my first year where I played in Dallas at Old Dallas Stadium, the Cowboys Stadium. And that wasn't in Arlington. Where was Dallas's first stadium? Was it in Arlington? It wasn't in Arlington.
No, it was I forgot the city it was in, but I'll think of it in a minute.
And then we played Green Bay against Reggie White and Brett Favre. This is my all rookie season, and I'm starting. So I get Reggie White first game. Can't go to KC my second game. No, first game was Dallas. Second game, Green Bay. Third game is Kansas City with Derek Thomas. So I'm like, you're not giving me a good welcome, right? They didn't even give me a chance to get myself together. I'm going against Derek Thomas. I got to block Reggie White. And I tried to cut Reggie White.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
And he looked at me and said, "What are you doing, boy?"
I think there's so many great places to play in the NFL. I played in Oakland just like you did. Matter of fact, I played in the USFL my sixth year. And we played in Oakland with the baseball stadium. And that's hard to do because you go from grass to dirt. And it's a big difference, especially if you're wearing certain cleats for the grass as a running back. But what was something that intrigued me was we played in Dallas in September. The temperature on the field was about 118. And that's an advantage for Dallas because it wore us out. We had a couple players on the Giants who lost 15 pounds because of being out on that turf. And, you know, that's something that they had to stay behind. They couldn't fly in the airplane back with us because that's scary. And I think that's an advantage. Just like if you play in Denver, you know, that you're way above sea level. And I remember running 20 yards and thought that somebody was on my back. But it wasn't. I was just tired.
That's
you
right.
Know? And so every stadium has an advantage. And I think, you know, you just have to figure out which you can't do anything about it. So, you know, you can't give excuses. And another thing, I hated playing the cold. And I still don't like the cold. And I played in both Green Bay and Buffalo in September and October. And that was ridiculous. I don't see how they can play in that kind of weather, let alone me.
Well, I played in Miami. I told you about that. I played in Miami in what, September, October, which is still hot, right? Yep. And so plant coming from our weather, which is cooler, going down to their weather, which is a lot hotter, I was struggling. And I didn't come off the field. I probably played about 40 to 50 plays that game. I was like, Lord. Everybody was catching cramps. So Miami is the game. Oh, playing in a dome is no joke either.
Yep.
I mean, I think it's worse than playing outside in a warm weather because it gets hot real quick. It could be fans could be comfortable and relaxed and they need to wear a sweater or a coat. But brother, after your first series, it's like 80 degrees in that dome and you struggling to breathe. I remember I told you we were in Detroit in their old Detroit Superdome and Tyrone just get kicked out the game at halftime. So it's only me and Gary Downs are the only two running backs left because Rodney had just got hurt and he couldn't play and Tiki was sidelined. So we dressed four running backs and was only two left. And so we had to play the entire game.
In the dome
and not coming off the field at all. And that was rough.
And see, the thing about it is it's got to scare you as a running back because there's nobody to take your place. If something happens, they got to put an offensive lineman in it or a tight end or something like that. And I think that every stadium has uniqueness. And you didn't mention Philadelphia at all. And I was wondering why. But Philadelphia has the worst fan group that I've ever seen because they were curse at you. They would spit at you. They would throw bottles at you. They would throw bottles of beer. And somebody said, well, the Raiders got to be rough. They're not that rough of fans. They just dress up crazy like it's Halloween. So I think that's the only difference. But Philadelphia was the craziest place because I remember in the beginning when the Cowboys playing, Michael Irvin got hurt and they cheered. as they carried him off the field. So I said, these fans are rough in Philadelphia.
Do you remember Veterans Stadium?
Yes, I do. I played there.
And the infield, they had the baseball layout. It was like that dual purpose stadium.
Yep.
And so you had to be careful because you're running right over the pitcher's mound and they had seams in the turf. So if your spike gets caught in the seam, you could twist the ankle or something like that.
Yep.
So that was probably the toughest stadium to play in, bar none, just because you could actually get hurt playing on that turf.
Well, so many stadiums, when both you and I played, even though I'm older than you, all of them had AstroTurf.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the worst things that you could do for NFL players. I still have marks on my hip of playing on AstroTurf and sliding on the turf. And I didn't know it then, but that's the worst. I thought, well, you know, it makes you faster, but it beats you up.
Yeah.
AstroTurf, I mean, your feet hurt, everything hurts. When you land, you're landing on cement. And I thought, you know, now the NFL players, they got it a lot easier because they're landing on softer surfaces.
Yeah, I still remember, Dan, it was 1996. It was December, the last game of the season. We were playing San Diego Chargers. And they were just, the turf was so worn out. And the end zones, you could see the end seam and the concrete underneath the turf. Right. No padding. You just it's just the turf and concrete. And I remember I'm going in for a touchdown and I have to jump. And man, I jump and I landed. I was like, I didn't think I could get back up. But just like the Detroit game, Gary Downs, everybody was hurt because it was the last game of the season. We had lost most of the games. And so nobody suited up. And it was just me and Gary playing again. So. I mean, I remember those days, and that's tough. The other stadium is RFK Stadium. That was a decent stadium to play in, right in the middle of D.C., yep. The Redskins' old stadium.
And it was grass.
Yeah, I kind of enjoyed playing at old RFK Stadium.
Yep, I did too. It was an old stadium, probably one of the oldest in the whole NFL. They, if anybody needed a new stadium, it was the Redskins. But I love playing in the grass. I think I felt more comfortable in the grass. I wasn't as fast on the grass as I was on turf, but when you went down, it kind of felt good.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that, and that's why I think that more, they really have done a good job in the NFL of putting the surf where everybody has a chance to land softly, as you say, because you look at the turfs everywhere. I love grass everywhere. I love teams that have grass. One of the great things about the LA Raiders in Vegas is that their second floor brings out the whole grass and takes it to the parking lot. And that's when they water it and keep it up,
yeah,
give it vitamins, and they bring the whole thing back in there. That's part of that. And they're the highest paid stadium in the world. It used to be the Dallas Cowboys at $1 billion, but the Raiders played $4 billion for this stadium, and it's got every art thing that you could ever have. And I think that every player goes there has really got to enjoy it. You got to have your discipline, because you can't go out at night partying in Vegas because it'll eat you up.
You're absolutely right. And then the other stadium that I wasn't too fond of was old San Francisco Candlestick Park.
Yep.
You remember that. And so that was part of the baseball stadium, too, because the San Francisco Giants played in that stadium. So you did have that same infield type of deal going in San Francisco. And so during my era, I played against some tough teams because after Joe Montana left, you had Steve Young, and we were playing against Steve Young, Ronnie Lott. We had all those guys.
Yep.
Ken Norton was on that team. So I played against a who's who of NFL players at great stadiums my first year.
Well, the thing I remember about San Francisco is when I became a broadcaster, you guys were playing in San Francisco, and I think game time was about maybe close to 80 degrees. And the second half went down to about 30 degrees. And I was trying to figure, how could this possibly happen? How could this happen? Because I had shorts and a short sleeve shirt, and I was freezing in the second half. And I can't, that's the first place I had been in my life, because they got an old saying was the coldest winter they had was the summer in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was tough on opposing players, because, you know, you always try to gauge it to see what to wear, what cleats, you know, to put stuff on your arm if you need it. And it was one of those things where you had to change in the middle of the game because it got too hot in the beginning, too cold in the end. So I think that's an advantage for the home team.
Yeah, that is. And then when you look at and think about this, when you look at all of those old stadiums, remember Seattle, the Seahawks, and that stadium that they play. I know you remember the greatest picture is Brian Bosworth and Bo Jackson running over in Seattle. You remember that?
Yep.
That was really turf, right? And so it just brings back memories, those old school stadiums and that are no longer. But if you look at the new stadiums are just as well, hopefully more inviting for the fans. And so I think that's what that brings to the game. I think as a player, you think about your experience with not only the fans, but with the field,
yep,
more so than the stadium.
And it really shocks me because every single stadium is different. Mm-hmm. There's not two alike at all when you play on them. And I think the NFL has done a really good job of what they do now is that if you do get a new stadium, they'll eventually promise you a Super Bowl there. And even when Detroit got its new stadium, a lot of people wonder why they got to play in the cold. And they really shouldn't. They really shouldn't. They played in Minnesota in their new stadium. Why do you got to go in the cold? And that's the only thing I don't like, because from a fan standpoint, why would you want to go in the cold?
To Minnesota. So,
but then again, I understand the philosophy of the NFL, making sure that the new stadium gets paid for. And if you have a Super Bowl, that's got to bring big time revenue to the city.
Yeah, think about it. When they brought the Super Bowl to New York, everybody was upset that it was going to be cold. It's in the middle of winter. What are you doing? It's an open-air stadium. It was the hottest.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
And it set a record for being the warmest at that time in the season, right? Yeah. That is, it was like 60 to 70 degrees at game time. Yeah. That's excellent football weather.
Yes, it is.
Now, never mind, you couldn't get out the next day because there was a severe snowstorm the next day. So you couldn't make it back home. But for that week, it was a great week for Super Bowl festivities.
I think that New York and New Jersey did a great togetherness on making it fun for all the fans, because the NFL experience they do during the week of the Super Bowl, no matter where it is outstanding because they get everybody involved. I think the NFL does the best of anybody during the game, because if you get to the Super Bowl early, say you get there, the game's on Sunday, you get there Tuesday or Wednesday, you're going to have a great time. And if you're an ex-player and you want to go there the week of the game, there's so many parties, there's so many musical guests that are there. And it's probably one of the best times that you could have as a player or a former player, just being in that Super Bowl surroundings. Because even now they're talking about where the Super Bowl is going to play this year. It's going to be fun for the fans and the parties that they have and the get togethers and stuff like that. So I really like what the NFL does when they do a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's exciting. I've had a chance to be on the other side, especially when I work for the league, to spend some time and understand what goes on marketing those types of Super Bowls. But we'll be right back in a minute, but we're going to talk some NBA basketball in our last quarter, and we're going to talk about some of the news, free agency, and all of the draft picks that were made the last couple of weeks. But we got a lot to talk about. We'll see you right back here in a minute. And we're back with the Expressway. We finished up three exciting quarters about New York Giants, New York Jets football, as well as our favorite stadiums to play in and what are some of the exciting things that we remember from our career at the stadiums around the NFL. Now we're going to always talk about in our fourth quarter, the NBA basketball. A lot of talk about NBA free agency. We got a lot of movement. Chris Paul, what do you think? This is what I have for you. What do you think about the Chris Paul to the Golden State Warriors? They must have the smallest team in the NBA.
But see, I think that they know what they're doing because they have one of the best coaches in the NFL. And I think that, the trade is going to be good for if they can just give Chris maybe 15 or 20 minutes a game, because he's always hurt. He's been hurt in every situation in the playoffs. And maybe they burn him out during the course of the season. But they got the guy Bradley Beal, who's a great shooter, going to the Suns, and I think that he may help Kevin Durant and Booker to be even better, because he's a great shooter also. I don't know what's going to happen, but then they have no depth there with the Suns. But a lot of people think that they can win the NBA championship.
Yeah, I don't know. You need a bench. I know you only go seven, eight deep. In the playoffs, but you got to get to the playoffs. And if you use these guys, you playing Kevin Durant, you've seen Kevin Durant is not durable. You can't play him 38 minutes a game in the regular season and expect him to be your savior in the playoffs. That doesn't work like that. And he's shown it. And so you got Kevin Durant, you got Booker, and you got Bradley Beal, who isn't a stone of safety himself. When the last 2 years, he's been out because of injury for at least 10 to 20 games a season. So you got two guys that aren't typically known to stay healthy throughout an entire season, and you don't have a bench. So something has to give. Either they play 30 plus minutes a game to win, or they're going to be a six seed, four, five, or six seed in come NBA playoff time.
Well, they say that if a guy doesn't make 65 games, and there's 82 games in the NBA season. If a guy doesn't make 65, he can't make all NBA. And all NBA is what entitles you to get the big money. So they're going to have to do something about the timing or how long you rest people. And Kevin Durant is getting older. You can tell that you know, he's had injuries over the years. He's not been able to, you know, do things. And this is his probably last chance to win the NBA championship. And if I think about it, I don't remember the last time that somebody won back-to-back NBA championships. It hasn't been done in a while. Denver's got a chance this year, but they know what Denver's going to do, so everybody's going to work toward it. But I think the NBA is doing a great job on everything that they do because they're getting global. I mean, they're talking about, you know, they've been in China for a long time. China gave them $1 billion just to broadcast their teams. Now other countries are getting involved because sometimes I watch the NBA game, Charles, and I'll see at a stadium and it looks like not many people are in the stands. But what it is globally, they're making a killing. I mean, people all around the world are loving the NBA. So I'm hoping that they continue to get better at that. But another question that I have is that Dennis Rodman, who's crazy as hell, he said something like, if Larry Bird were playing now, he'd have to play in Europe because he's not good enough to be in the NBA. And I thought that was a terrible statement by Dennis Rodman. It shows the kind of person he is. And really, you think about it, that was stupid.
I just think he needed more hits on his TikTok when he said that. Because if you think about it, he was trying, and then they started the debate. Is he a Nikola Jokic? You know, is he the Joker? Is he not? I mean, I think he was a better player than the Joker because he could
absolutely pass,
he could shoot. He had even though you didn't like his inside game, he had an inside game. Joker. And he played nasty. It wasn't great defense by no means, but he played enough defense to piss you off and to do damage. And so,
breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
You can't, I don't think you compare, even though they're playing different positions, but they're probably close to the same height. I can't see you saying, you thinking Nikola Jokic is better than Larry Bird? I can't see that. Do you think Jokic is better than Bird?
No, I don't think so, because they're two different positions. And what I remember about Larry Bird is that he had his warm-up stuff on and came out and won a three-point contest and just walked away. And I said, that is a professional. That is a guy who knows his game. I thought he was good ever since college, and I really have liked him play. I was watching something the other night about the Dream Team, and he hurt his back a little bit, but he still went in there, and they say that's the best. The United, when they were going around the country, around the Europe playing in games everywhere, in Angola and different places, they would say that was almost like the Beatles out there. They had crowds everywhere, and that's when the European players begin to step up a little bit more. And that's why I think the European players, and they're talking pretty soon about maybe an all-star game with the European players against the American players. And right now, I think maybe Europe may win because they got Jokic there. They got Embiid, is from Africa. And they got a lot of great players. The kid from Dallas, Lucas. And I just think that it might be tough for the NBA players because now, and look at the Victor, the guy they drafted number one by the Spurs. Wimba. A friend of mine, and like I said, I went to high school in San Antonio, and so my dad had a ticket to the Spurs. A friend, he sent me a picture, and I have to show you off the air, but the guy Victor is sitting there, and David Robinson is right next to him, and Tim Duncan's on the other side, and Sean Elliott's on the other side. The reason I didn't recognize it, because Robinson is 7'2", and Victor was towering over him by 5 or 6 inches. And I think Tim Duncan's got to be close to 7 feet tall. He made them all look small. And I think that was so cool for the Spurs to gather him up like they did, took him out to dinner and kind of showing him the NBA ways. And that's what you need. You know, like even in football, if a new guy comes in, you know, everybody's intimidated and trying to scare him. But really, you need to indoctrinate him to your team.
Yeah, when you look at the side note, is how lucky can one organization be? You get David Robinson, you get Tim Duncan, number one pick, and now you got Wimby. as a number one pick. So that organization has set themselves up over the course of time to get number one picks. And they are the masters of tanking. So they're the ones that, this is the truth. They're the ones that started all of this tanking. They wanted to tank to get Tim Duncan to pair with David Robinson. And that's why now every other team tanks now. It was San Antonio. And think about this. They traded Murray so that they can get Wimby, so they have a better chance to get Wimby this year. So everybody gets mad about tanking, but blame the team that started all the tanking, and it was San Antonio, and that's why they changed to the lottery, because that's how they got Tim Duncan.
See, I totally understand everything. I think, as I said before, I think 82 games is too many. I mean, but then again, you look at Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and Patrick Ewing and all them guys, they played 82 games. I remember a couple seasons in a row. Michael Jordan did not miss a game. And now these players like LeBron and stuff, they say they need a rest. And it kind of kills me because they're making three times more money than they were making then. I think LeBron's salary is $47 million. And if you make all NBA, you get $40 million. Bill, who's going to the Phoenix Suns, he's got $47 million. So I just don't understand that. But then maybe they're playing harder and we don't know it. I know the playoffs are harder, but I think the NBA has got to do a better job, because if you as a fan, Charles, go to a game and you want to see Wimby and they take him off that game, you can't do nothing about it as a fan.
Yeah, and that's a tough situation. And but they're thinking about adding more games with this in-season tournament. And guess what? I guarantee you, a lot of teams aren't even going to be playing their major players in this in-season tournament when they have it. So I just think that's why are you adding more games when you've been already complaining about there's too many games and guys are already taking days off? You're going to have a tournament that's supposed to mean something to guys that are making $30 to $50 million a year, and they only can get $10,000 or an extra $100,000. What is the extra $100,000 to a guy that's making $50 million?
You're exactly right. It's like giving them a dollar. In the NBA also, they're talking about trading Damian Lillard, who's one of the great shooters in the game. He's been in Portland for 9 years. They were 16 games under 500 last year. And if he wants to win a championship, he's going to have to get out of Portland. Is that good for the league for him to get out? Because then they got to start all over in Portland. And the western part of the NBA is probably the best in the NBA, with Denver, with Phoenix Suns, the Lakers, and all of them are good. So I think it's a tough situation. Should Damian Lillard leave Portland? And he's set up a great situation for him there. He does great with entrepreneurship and doing nonprofit things and helping out a lot of people. And I was just trying to figure, why would he want to stay and just play his whole career there?
Was Oregon the first to legalize marijuana?
I thought, yeah, they're the first. Yep.
Maybe that's why, because I have no idea why he would stay, given that team is terrible, and you're not going to win a championship with that team. So I have no idea why he's still staying. But back to your other question, if you think about it, the international players in the NBA versus the American players in the NBA.
Yep.
I mean, it's a blowout.
I think so too.
Think about it. You got Giannis.
Yep.
You got Luka.
Embiid.
You got Embiid. You got Chris Bosh. I mean, not Chris Bosh. Your boy from Toronto, Pascal Siakam.
Yep.
I mean, if you look at every team, I mean, the big guys and the guards, you got a lot of guys, international guys. And then American guys, who do you have? Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant,
Damian Lillard, LeBron getting old.
LeBron, yeah, exactly. Anthony Davis. I mean, it's a very weak team and an old team at that. And so I don't see a lot of young players, especially a lot of young big men coming up that international game. I guarantee you they'd be playing like they're playing little kids on the basketball court. But if you want excitement to the All-Star game, that's probably the best way to bring excitement to the basketball.
And I like that way, because the other way is not very good for me, because I don't really see a good game. All I see is really people running up and down the court and playing no defense. I mean, the reason I think it would be good, because like I said before, I watched the Dream Team last night and they had something on television about, you know, the great excitement that they brought to the game. And I think that, you know, if they do that, I think it'd be more exciting for the fans, more exciting for the players. And I think it would help everything on the NBA if they could do that. So that's what I hope for. NBA action is fantastic. And I love it, Charles Way. But anyway, as we move along, I'm just waiting for Charles. He probably got off a little bit, but he'll be back with us in a minute. And the other thing is Draymond Green getting traded possibly from Golden State because he declined the salary they had for like $27 million because he wants to make more money than that. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that in order for Golden State to win, he's got to be there and he's got to be able to participate and help them out because he helps Stephon Curry so much. He runs the offense very well. Excellent defender, plays defense against anybody, plays hard, runs the break. And I think Draymond Green should be a vital part of it. And I hope that. But the NBA has got a few things to straighten out. And I hope they do because it's got great potential, Charles Way.
Absolutely. And I can't wait to see what happens this upcoming season. A lot of good things happening. I can't wait for that international U.S. All-Star game, because I think that's going to be an amazing, amazing game for everybody. I think that's, if you want intensity, you're going to have guys talking much smack and bringing it for a change. Because if you look at the old school All-Star game when Barkley, Jordan, when all those guys were there, yep. I mean, they were intense games. People were trying to do some damage. And so it'll be fun to see some excitement and competitiveness in that game again.
One thing was fun for me when the Dream Team, Tony Gukos played over in Europe and he got drafted by the Bulls and the Bulls didn't like it because they really felt they didn't need him because they had Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan. And so then when they played against him, Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen took it upon himself to shut him down. He had to feel terrible. He had to think, well, can I play in this league anymore the way they defensed him? But that was just one of those situations where they wanted to show him who was the best. And we need that situation because I guarantee if the United States played Europe, it's going to be one of those situations where somebody wants to disprove anybody about are they good enough to do that. So, and even Jokic and Nicholas Jokic, I think he wants to prove himself. He's such a cool dude, though. I like his disposition. You know, he seems like he's a great sport. And I think he's great for the game, you know.
Yeah, I think so. I can't wait till we get back here next week so we can talk some more NBA and free agency stuff.
All right, I got to thank Jayla back in the studio. Jayla took care of Charles and I and really did an outstanding job, and we really got to give her a hand for it. And we'll see you next week. And for Charles Way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Billy Taylor. Have a nice week, and thanks for joining us.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.